I will now call upon a few brief remarks from Jerry Estrin on history of the very early history of computing in Israel.
Okay, it's appropriate that these few remarks come as a sequel to the presentation of what went on at the Institute for Advanced Study. And I want to focus my attention on just one issue, and that is the transfer of technology. When I came to the Institute in the summer of 1950, I was enormously impressed by the extremely open exchange of information among the Institute people, but with visitors from other groups. There was just no feeling there of a holding cards close to your vest, but a truly open exchange, as far as I observed it, with all visitors. And that turned out to be a terribly important thing. There was one other event, I think it was in 1952, that von Neumann gave the first full-fledged press conference. And when he was talking about the Institute machine, I still sort of remember the comment that, you know, someday that machine would, a machine like it, would be operating in the deepest part of Africa. And of course, we among the engineers, I think, sort of scratched our heads because we knew how much we had to, you know, live with that instrument in order to keep it going. And that seemed like a ridiculous thing. Well, not too long later, there was a visiting physicist, an engineer from the Weizmann Institute of Science, who had been brought at the behest of Professor C.L. Pecoris, well-known applied mathematician, who had spent a good deal of his time at the Institute for Advanced Study and then moved on to establish a Department of Applied Mathematics at the Weizmann Institute of Science. And circa 1949, he had already decided he had to get a machine of this vintage in Israel in order to carry out the kind of work that he wanted. And he made a number of stabs at bringing people there and finally brought this professor. Professor Ephraim Frey to work with us at the Institute for a two-year period. And then the question was raised in 1952, of my coming on a fellowship to help build a machine like the Institute one at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel. We knew nothing about Israel, myself, my wife, eight-month-old baby, and in the fall of 1953, headed out for Rehovot to help build such a machine. Fortunately, I had been involved, I guess, in almost every kind of dirty work that was necessary to bring the Institute machine to final realization. That stood me in good stead. On the way to Israel, we made a number of stops at all of the key centers, at MIT in Boston, and then over in the United Kingdom, at Cambridge, and at London, and at Manchester, in Amsterdam, in Paris, in Rome, and finally ended up around Christmas of 1953 in Rehovot itself. It took a very short time. The following events happened very quickly. The first cocktail party that we attended were a number of applied mathematicians in Israel at the Pecoris's. And the first thing that came up was, my God, who needs a machine like that in Israel? What will we do with such a thing? It's just a ridiculous expenditure and just nonsense, okay? And a large discussion went on there. Fortunately, shortly before leaving the Institute in Princeton, I had a little discussion with von Neumann. And I said, what are they going to do with a machine like this? He said, don't worry. He says, Pecoris will fully occupy that machine by himself if nobody else uses it. And in fact, to a great extent, this is exactly what happened in Israel. But if I hadn't had that behind me, being faced with this torrent immediately of who needs such a thing, we would not have proceeded. The other thing that I found very shortly thereafter was that, in fact, some of the people who had trained themselves to go over and develop such a machine, which I was to help with, had decided this was really too big a job, you know, for Israel. So very shortly after, I found myself in charge. In charge, and what was sitting there were myself, my wife, who was an electrical engineer and who had worked for a summer on the Institute machine. One technician was assigned to me, and a couple of engineers to help part-time. And we too, cellars seem to be an important issue in the building of computers. We were led into a basement area and said, this is where you're going to build the machine. And this, I looked and I said, this basement was fully occupied by three departments. And I said, where do we start? They said, you just build your things up and sort of, you know, push the other people out as you need the space. All right. I too knew that we had something of the order of 2,500 vacuum tubes coming. I said, okay, let's get a hold of, you know, at least a couple of tube testers so we can start with this process. Tube testers. No. And so, in fact, went some of the excursions into the back streets of Tel Aviv to find potentiometers and some other parts to build our first tube tester there. All right, it was, of course, for me, probably the highlight of experience in my life. There were 6 months of just logistics, all right, getting materials, the kind of thing, and some of the very careful design and documentation that had been going on in the Institute, I just couldn't have done without. The kind of things of stamping of these chassis was all very well established. My only problems were at the Weizmann Institute of Science, you could get very precise Swiss machines, but nothing that could stamp metal. And so, in fact, we had to go out to some place that had chickens and goats running around and made things like bicycle wheels and fans, and we found a place that could stamp metal. But 6 months of logistics during that time, finding a small group of people who would be able to carry on, and then a group of people who took another 9 months to essentially bring this system to completion. There was one very important issue, and I think it faces us over and over again in technology transfer, and that is, As I had visited Wilkes Laboratory, I was very much attracted to the orderliness of his organization, of the control in his approaches to microprogramming. And, well, of course, the flexibility. But this is one decision I had to make very early, that when I began to talk about some of these Israelis about this problem, I saw the fear come up in their eyes of something, you know, something new. I realized for the first time, you know, how much this monstrous instrument, you know, how difficult this looked to them, and they knew that there would come a day and I would walk away and they would be left, you know, with the problems of this system. And I made a snap judgment, yeah, that even though artistically and for many other reasons I would like to have introduced that, no changes of that nature. There were minimal changes. A new tube, which there had to be some design, some tidiness, and the introduction of a core memory. But this turned out to be, in a stint of like 15 months, a tremendously successful project in technology transfer. Because even in the time of educating them, I lectured in English for a while, and then I found the man who was going to be the leader, had him continue lecturing in Hebrew, and this process, this leadership took over. It was an enormously interesting exercise. I'm going to stop right there.
Thank you, Jerry. Do we have any questions on this? If not, we can adjourn the session.